Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately. Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm late.
Holy moly. That's just not right. Oh, it's because, and it's only because two little adapters.
Yeah. I'm Big JD.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, a little bit of technical difficulty again, but we solved it to some degree, and we're actually on the air. We're live. 19 minutes after the fact.
Yeah. That's crazy. That is just insane amounts of prep time for...
Wow. But that's okay. Last week we didn't get to broadcast at all. I don't think, did we? Not live.
Not live. No, because we did the show pre.
Oh, that's right. But I mean, the time before, I think, when we switched over to some new broadcast software and.
And how's that working out for you, Big JD? Fuck.
Whoa. It's working out great.
Brutal.
We're live.
And what's the show on? Oh, am I supposed to have a song? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you'll find that as we go. Trust. That's what the show's on today. Trust. All things trust. What's new with you?
I'm a little lacking of sleep.
You'll have to send that to me too, by the way.
Yes, I will.
Some sleep. Okay, yeah, he's lacking sleep. A busy weekend for you.
Friday went to London, checked out the Grady show at Norma Jean's. And before that was Gordy put on a guitar clinic.
Went to that?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really good. Yeah, I'm just sitting in a music store and he's got his acoustic out shooting at stuff. And
what was he doing? What was the clinic on, actually? Who was he?
Well, he's a pretty unique guitar player in so much that he has his own style, which all guitars do, but he also has a way that he tunes as well. Mm-hmm. So he was talking about open D tunings with drop D's and open G's. And with Grady, he found he's utilizing a tuning whereby it's just C's and G's.
Oh, yeah.
And he talked about the gauge of strings he uses to get that.
What's the gauge? Does he use a big string?
14, 19, 26, 39, 47, 59.
Well, that's big.
59 for your E string.
What's the small string again, did you say?
14.
14, wow.
Yeah. It tends not to pick or fret stuff too often. I mean, you know, down that end especially, because he says he uses the two bottom strings, your B and your E string. He uses that for like a vocal line or like a melody line. Mm-hmm. And he usually is sliding on that, those two strings. Yeah. And they're both the same note. They're both a C. Mm-hmm.
Just so, add some fullness, I guess, of some kind with a couple different size strings.
Well, he's got a down pat, that tuning.
That's wacky stuff.
Yeah, so if it's just a C and a G, you're going to get heavy because that's just like a power chord, basically. Mm-hmm. But it's all, you know, it's an open tuning. So you get that openness as well. So that's why it's so heavy. And it's a C. You know, it's really low. So yeah. So we learned about all that stuff. And he gave some history lessons as far as blues and what he was listening to. And he didn't play standard tuned guitars for very long. And what he used to listen to learn how to play a song was piano rolls.
Oh, yeah?
He must have had access to a player piano.
Right, right.
And he would sit down for hours and play along. He would, I guess you can control the speed at which the roll moves.
Yeah.
And he said he'd go really, really slow and just figure out those tunes.
Wow.
On his guitar. And so he played a couple of the tunes that he learned, like they're, you know.
Talk about looking back to be able to slow something down to learn, eh?
Yeah.
And now, I mean, just about any software will do that for you, like, you know, to learn on a guitar or hard piece of hardware gear will slow things down so you can learn solos and things like that.
That's old school. But he's also, I guess he's a, he produces albums as well.
Right.
Just finished producing the Government Mule CD.
Which is very cool.
You've been listening to it, yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, but he's a pro at Pro Tools as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
He knows his stuff. Jeff's going to get the right tea. Our intern's bringing us some tea. Thanks, Jonas.
Thanks, man.
Normally, this is done pre-show. Sorry for the interruption. So anyway, yeah, that's what I did Friday.
And we're going to take a break for tea.
Don't need no stinking break. And then last night, I was in Chatham, Ontario. I played at a bar called Jersey's.
Lippo gets around.
And our buddy Mark Dana was there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the picture I saw.
Oh, the picture. That was phone picture from hell there. It's like a piece of art, abstract art.
Yeah.
And I'm in it.
So, yeah, that's quite a busy weekend.
And what about you? What did you do this weekend?
What I do? Yeah. What I do over the weekend?
Yes.
What didn't I do over the weekend?
I don't know.
We'll just leave it at that. No, it was a pretty busy weekend, I guess. Just working, man. Working.
Working where?
At your desk. Mostly at home, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, writing, working on budgets, working on all kinds of crap.
Budgets?
Yeah.
To work on budgets. Oh, I was going to say, if you have a budget, you got to have money.
Yeah. No budget. There'll be no budget for me. That's for sure. I get into some real news.
$89 RAM. That's all I can say. You got to have
it. Oh, yes. That's got to be in your... on top of my list, man.
And straight from the newsroom floor and the walls and the ceiling. It's time for news from around the world, and sometimes out of this world, from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
That newsroom seems like it's getting further and further all the time. Facebook users being targeted by a malicious virus that can wipe out your computer.
Really?
Did you hear about all that?
No, I never heard of that one.
I don't know. Something going on with Facebook, I guess, and it was acting up for everybody, except maybe Mac users. I don't know. I never had a problem. The new attack uses a two-layer approach, first robbing you of your Facebook username and password, and then installing a dangerous virus. And it's very scary what this latest virus can do and how easily it can infect your computer. Again, Mac users probably don't even have to worry about it.
It does something besides wipe out your...
It robs you of your username and password from Facebook. And then installs a dangerous virus, I guess, on your computer. In most cases, begins by asking you to change your Facebook password and saying it's been reset because your account has been compromised.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
And like something the company would never do. So, and these fake Facebook emails are going out to millions of computers, and they carry a virus that can basically destroy your computer. So it's pretty crazy. I asked some people and I've heard people talking that, my Facebook is screwed up. I can't, do this or I can't do that. And I'm like, well, there's some kind of Facebook virus. Well, I never heard about that. I don't know. How do you know more than what's on the internet? And I'm like, okay, well, whatever. You can't use your Facebook. Like, what are you? You know what I mean? I'm just saying what I heard,
And you are a Facebook user.
Yeah, I use Facebook. And I don't have any trouble, though. And I'm sure you don't either.
Using Facebook, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of it may be user error. There's a lot of dumb people around.
User error, that's... What's the name of that?
Tune?
No, it's the name of a error.
Heir to the throne?
ID10T. It's an ID10T error.
ID10T, ID10T.
And if you spell out ID10 and the letter T, it spells idiot.
Okay.
Should be calling users idiot, though. Idiot's kind of a rude word, but...
Titty. Identity. Did you give me a tune?
It's in your Dropbox.
Oh, man. I hate when things go in my Dropbox. I thought you were already attached to my... Must be this computer or something. Because I got to find my Dropbox thing, and that's just like painstaking. But I got it.
Staking.
Hey, oh, that's not it, man.
Oh, what is that in your heart? Oh, it's a stake.
Dracula. Okay, so let me just take that and put it somewhere where I can utilize it later. Lippo's week for a song this week. And the show, we can get into today's topic, I guess, if there's nothing. You have any news or you got something there?
Well,
a little bit of news perhaps, huh?
What is going on in the news?
I don't know.
Besides the big Facebook.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing going, so I don't know. You can't top that.
No, I don't think so. No, it's all stuff that you don't want to talk about. That's
for sure. It's politics.
Exactly.
Obama bin Laden and stuff.
Obama bin Laden.
Osama bin Osaka. Yeah. So you want to get into the show then?
Sure.
Trust. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word trust? What is it? Quick. Nothing.
Something that a lot of people don't have. It's something there's just too little of, as Burt Bacharach would say.
Burt Bacharachy? Is that what he says?
But he's talking about love. Love, sweet love.
You know, the first thing when I hear the word trust comes to mind is that song from, is Ariel's, I think, or something. Hey, trust in my self-righteous suicide. Oh, I think we've been through this before. I can't remember the name of the band all the time, though. You know who I mean?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's System Rick of a Down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. And so, I had some big thing on trust that I wanted to... Anyway, let's talk about what trust is, I guess, we can start with.
Where's trust the most important to you?
Where is it the most important?
Yeah, is it when you go buy something at a store? Is it with your family? Or is it with your employer? Or...
Well, I think whatever is closest to us, like whatever is most personal, I think is probably where, you know, the main trust comes into play, I guess, for. Trust is both an emotional and logical act. Emotionally, it's where you expose your vulnerabilities to people, but believing they will not take advantage of your openness. Logically, it's where you have assessed the possibilities of gain and loss, calculating expected utility based on hard performance data, and concluded that the person in question, say, will believe in a predictable manner.
That's what it is, a predictable manner. I think that's what I like about trust.
We feel trust. Emotions associated with trust include companionship, friendship, love, agreement, relaxation, and comfort. Trust is more than just, you know, that little five-letter word or how... That it is. My abacus. So there's a number of different ways we can actually define trust, and we'll talk about all these different things. Predictability, value exchange. That's another thing, too, about trust. It's a kind of a two-way street, isn't it?
It has to be a two-way street. If it isn't a two-way street, there really is no trust involved.
Right.
Because if...
That's deep.
Well, it's true, though.
Sure.
If you think about the people that you trust the most, you know that they have to trust you for you to feel that trust in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our level of trust decreases the farther we go away from home. Like, you know, you go to work, there's people there that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go to the store...
Okay, yeah.
Then you trust less people there. And then if you're just on the street, you don't trust anybody.
On the street, yeah. In an airport, on an airplane, traveling, halfway around the world. Yeah, yeah. Trust changes with distance.
I think
that's really something.
Your distance from home, I think, anyway.
Did you find anything on that? Or is that just something that you...
This is just out of my head.
Wow, that's beautiful. It is. There's like a quote there somewhere. The further you are from
home,
the further you are from trust. Nice.
Your level of trust, I think, is...
Well, yeah.
Your
level of trust.
And your expectations of trust.
Change dramatically.
Yeah. Like, but when you are on a plane, though, there's some trust there. You trust the person next to you isn't going to...
Well, yeah, you are trusting to a certain degree. You're trusting that the pilot is, you know... sloppy drunk or whatever. Yeah.
You don't.
I don't know. I don't. If I was driving, then if I was flying the plane, then I would trust.
So that issue definitely is part of your...
Is that a trust issue though?
Yours isn't a trusted.
I don't know. Is it?
And yeah, I think it is. You don't trust the pilot to get you to your destination safely.
I guess if you put your trust in someone or something, then I guess you.
I'm good with them.
You're okay with it all.
Yeah.
And if you don't put your trust, you know, I don't think it's so much the pilot though. I think it's an airplane and the craft and craftsmanship and you know, however old that is, and repairs and maintenance and that kind of thing. That's what. So that's where my trust lacks.
Right. So you're trusting a whole system.
Distrusting a whole system.
Yeah, it's your lack of trust for the maintenance crew and the people.
Distrust, mistrust, like what do these all mean?
Is there a mistrust? I don't know. Distrust, I think there is. There's
is actually. There a mistrust? There is now.
Yeah, she lives down the road.
Truster? And what? A trustee?
Trustee?
Yeah.
Is there a trustor? Yeah, there's got to be a trustor.
I don't know.
I think there's actually a bank or something that had the word trustor in it.
Trust executor. Executing, yeah. Mm-hmm. But what?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, it was a bank or a...
Well, there's trustees.
Yeah, obviously there's trustees.
And trusts and deeds and, you know, there's other kinds of trust other than kind of what we're talking about.
Right.
Has to do with... And what is trust is not a physical thing.
It isn't?
Well, is trust a physical thing?
Oh, well, yeah, right.
It can take place during something physical, but I mean it's, you know, I trust you're going to pull out of this parking spot and
let me
not
in.
Back into my car. So,
right.
Let me finish here. Yeah. Let's talk a little more about trust.
Parking lot trust.
Some other ways of defining trust. Letting others know your feelings, emotions, reactions, having a confidence in them to respect you and not to take advantage of you.
Right. That's a good point.
So
I think the more you talk, the more someone can trust you. If you're quiet and you don't say much, you're not as trusted, I think.
You come across as being shady.
Shifty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which it's too big because somebody could be a perfectly trusting person. It's just they're shy at first, mm-hmm. but then people don't trust them.
Sharing your inner feelings and thoughts with others with the belief that they will not spread them indiscriminately.
Ooh. Keep my secrets.
So, yeah. Trust in confidence. Confidence.
That's the word. Confide.
Yeah, confiding. Placing confidence in others so that they will be supportive and reinforcing of you, even if you let down your mask and show your weaknesses.
Well,
these are all kind of, they're closely related, these things, I think.
Sure. Yeah.
They all tie into trust. the sense that things are fine, that nothing can disrupt the bond between you and another person or something, I guess.
Right. Just like this cat right here just walked right up to you because he trusts you.
Yeah.
You're not going to...
I'm not going to make Chinese soup out of him.
Chinese soup? Mm-hmm.
The glue or cement of relationships that allows you to need others to fulfill yourself.
The glue or cement that, say that again?
Of relationships that allows you to need others to fulfill yourself.
Wow.
That's the binding of relationships.
And obviously the completion, you know, of us as people.
Yeah. On that social level that we need.
Obviously, that's
we're a social animal.
That's what that is saying, that we need other people in our lives, but we can't have these people in our lives without this a certain degree of trust.
How about opening yourself up to others in letting them in on your background, your problems, concerns, and mistakes, with the assurance that they will not ostracize you because of these things?
You have to trust that they won't do that in front of you anyway. You know, at work, people will start talking to you, and then, you know, if you're a good listener, they'll just tell you everything. Mm-hmm. You know, their daughter's in jail, and their son.
There's people like that. The first time you meet them, they're very trusting. They're very trusting people, and they, hey, how you doing? Yeah, well, and they start talking. Yeah, I was in the war. Blah, 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 blah. My wife this, my wife that, my kids, blah, 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 blah. I just, you want to buy a watch? You know, but there are a lot of very trusting people, and I think young kids are usually pretty trusting. And I think people. That old people, yeah. Old people are very trusting. They want to talk. They want to yap. They want to tell you stories. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they don't. In most cases, I don't think they even care if you talk back.
I think
they just
want
to get all the, you know.
They want to get it out.
Yeah.
They want to talk to somebody. And I think there is a certain amount of built-in trust as you get older. Because you feel like, okay, now I'm not a diminished part of society, but there's some part of being old that makes you just more susceptible to something bad happening to you. Something bad if you didn't trust somebody, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. someone yeah. doing something wrong to you. So they feel if they're talking to you, here I am, you know, let me have what you will, and I trust that you're going to be showing me respect.
We can talk a little bit about people having trouble developing trust if they have maybe experienced a great deal of emotional or physical abuse or neglect.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there who have baggage who prevents them from trusting anybody.
If they've been chronically put down for the way they feel or for what they believe.
For what they believe.
Maybe in a religion or something like that, or their beliefs of whatever nature. You get put down, for, you know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe you're in a family that's a religion and you want to seek something else, or you want to eat differently, or you know, what your belief system is as far as, you know, how you want to live your life, yeah. I guess, you know?
Yeah.
If you've been emotionally hurt in the past and, you know, you're not willing to get hurt again in the future, then that's going to, you're going to have trouble developing trust.
Obviously, yeah. Yep.
Or you lose your trust.
You're just talking about religion. I was just thinking of last night, Leo, our bass player, he's a single guy. Mm-hmm. And he's finally got a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And she's from Thailand. Mm-hmm. And she's a Buddhist.
Okay.
Which I think Buddhist is probably one of the coolest religions out there. It's as far as...
I like Buddha.
Yeah, Buddha's cool. And there's I guess it's hippiness attached to Buddhism. You know, it's all about... you know,
yeah,
living right so. And treating people right and all that kind of stuff, which is
karmatic stuff.
Karmatic.
That's you like that?
That was Johnny Carson's.
I thought that was that iTunes app to start the car.
Good one.
You know, zip car.
So I'm just thinking of people like her who, you know, they're in whatever. There's a lot of religions in Leamington where she's from. There's the Mexicans with the Mennonites. And of course, there's the Italians and Lebanese, Roman Catholic. So it's hard to feel trust in somebody when you're the outsider mm-hmm. as far as religion goes. So,
I did an interview with Garrett Kramer. Garrett Kramer is, like the founder of Inner Sports, a company that they coach, athletes, from the inside, like, you know, not on their actual game, but on what's going on inside them, yep. you know, further. And, I talked to him about trust and how it relates to, you know, what he does, as far as, you know, maybe athletes trusting him to, you know, give the advice and give the knowledge and give his expertise so that, you know, is this going to help me with, you know, what I'm doing? Am I going to be able to focus better? Am I, you know, should I be listening to somebody or should, you know what I mean? And the things yeah. that come into play and stuff like that. So, maybe we can air that now.
We're going to listen to a little bit of, your interview.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to play the whole interview. This is, this is my new thing. I'm incorporating the interviews into the Jabbercast now for our topics if I can, because I'm not doing the interview show now. And I don't know if I'm going to actually continue that in the spring, like you talking to me.
Right.
So I'm just going to do the little things for here and keep my chops up.
Well, that's cool because that just makes it easier for me.
Here we go.
Time for an interview with Big JD. For more Big JD, visit BigJD.com or visit YouTalkinToMe.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number 2, me, YouTalkinToMe.ca.
InterSports LLC is the innovator in athletic behavioral evaluation and coaching. They evaluate and then coach athletes of all ages on the behavioral characteristics and principles that lead to improved performance on and off the field of play. a leader in the fields of athletic statistical analysis, predictive behavioral assessment, principle-based psychology, and principle-based athletic coaching. Garrett Kramer is also a former collegiate hockey player and coach, currently coaching at the high school level. He's the founder and managing partner of Inner Sports, and here today to discuss trust as it relates to athletic behavioral coaching, we welcome Garrett Kramer to the show. Hi, Garrett.
Hey, JD. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So can you tell us a little bit about your background, your professional background, maybe your athletic background?
Sure. I was a hockey player most of my life. I played college hockey at Hamilton College in Clinton, New York. And when I stopped playing college hockey, went into coaching. I actually coached a JV team there for a year, coached some really good travel teams in the New York metropolitan area, and coached a couple high schools also along the way. I was also a pretty good amateur golfer. I played in four U.S. amateur golf championships. So I did that for a while when I couldn't kind of unleash my competitive juices on the ice anymore. I turned to the sport of golf, picked it up, and worked hard at it. Became pretty good. My background is basically as a coach, a life coach. I have to athletes. I've been doing it for years. Inner Sports was created several years ago to kind of bring both the opportunity for athletic behavior evaluation and then mentoring together in one place. Mm-hmm. For the athletic community, mainly youth, but somehow we seem to have gotten on track initially with more professional athletes than youth athletes. So it's fun.
Okay, yeah, that was my next question, actually, was to find out a little more information about Inner Sports and when you started. Now, does every athlete work with you specifically, or might they work with another coach or maybe a group of Inner Sports personnel?
We do have other coaches. I have partners on the West Coast in Laconia, Washington, at a company called Pransky & Associates. But mainly, I spend most of my time traveling, meeting teams, coaches, players of teams, sometimes management of teams, to kind of discuss our methodology for coaching. And so it's pretty much me right now. On an individual basis, I do have coaches that are certified in what we do, but I try to have a hand in it whenever I can, for mm-hmm. sure.
And can you discuss a little bit of your evaluation process?
Sure. Our evaluation is a 200-question multiple-choice type metric where we're evaluating 11 behavioral attributes that we have proven lead to success in athletics and also off the field. The evaluation could apply off the field as well. That evaluation measures attributes such as acceptance of responsibility, competitiveness, susceptibility to stress, impulse control, persistence, attributes such as that. We're lucky enough to have both the National Hockey League and Major League Lacrosse use our evaluation at their scouting combines. So every player at those two drafts for both Major League Lacrosse and the National Hockey League takes our behavior evaluation, and then that info is distributed to all teams in the leagues, and they use it for their selection process.
Great. And then maybe you can explain just a little bit of maybe what the next step is and what happens after the evaluation.
Yeah. Well, I should tell you that at InterSports, the evaluation is not a necessity. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's many athletes that we work with that don't take the evaluation. It's really up to the player or the team, and every team is different. Some players want the information. Some teams want this information. Some teams could care less about it. I think it's valuable information if you're making a big-time decision. In other words, if you're a pro team and you want to know whether to draft or trade or pick up a player on waivers, it's definitely valuable information. But for a youth athlete, it's not necessarily the be-all or end-all. Mm-hmm. And sometimes players get afraid to get labeled. It's not that we present the information that way. And everything that we do is very private. But the next step is a coaching protocol that is, we kind of, it's revolutionarily simple how we approach athletics. We look at sports and we look at or life coaching from the inside out. In other words, we firmly believe that problems don't exist in the world outside of the player. They only exist in the player's thinking and thus experience. And right. When an athlete could see that, when an athlete could see that an opposing player maybe taking a cheap shot at you, or a coach benching you, or a parent, if it's a youth athlete or a high school athlete, you know, yelling from the stands or something. When an athlete can see that those external situations have no ability to regulate them whatsoever, and they understand that we all know that already. Sometimes this world shrouds our thinking to the point where that gets kind of covered up, right?
Sure.
So
yeah.
When a player in a state of quiet, all right, from a place of quiet, sees that, they're able to approach the game, the season, training, practicing, relationships with teammates, coaches, et cetera, from an inside-out perspective, and they are able to take control of their athletic career. So, JD, we don't look at behavioral models or tools, things like visualization or routines or imagery, anything like that, breathing techniques. Really don't look at it that way. While there may be those techniques may be fine for some temporary help, mm-hmm. Right, long term, the answers to every issue, to every problem that appears to be going on in a player's mind, really lies within them, and that's really what we're here to, what we exist to do with athletes. We kind of impart a feeling on them, not a how to.
Right. On our show this week, we're talking about trust, and so what I wanted to kind of discuss with you in about what you do is discussing trust, how that fits in with this process, and how important that is with the work that you do.
Well, it's very important, and I was thinking about your question, and I think you could look at trust a couple ways. So mm-hmm. Let's take the intellectual way of looking at trust. So what you could say is, all right, does a player have to trust you to work with you? In other words, does he have to believe that that everything that they say will be between you and the athlete, et cetera? And is that something you have to earn over time? And I guess the answer to that is yes, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's easy for me to say to a player, which is true, that whatever we talk about is between us,
sure,
right? I mean, unless there's some other arrangement with the team set up, but that's rare. Mm-hmm. I that's a very rare, rare situation. So I have no problem, I've had no problem earning that kind of intellectual trust,
right?
But the word trust really is a much deeper, I don't know, it's a much deeper feeling, let's say, right? See, like I said before, for anybody, trusting is more about you than the person you have to trust, mm-hmm. right? It's when you're in the right frame of mind, trust comes relatively easily. In other words, you kind of let your let your inner wisdom kind of guide you along the way. If you're a person or an athlete, we're talking about athletics here, right?
But right, yeah.
So you kind of you don't get hung up in the word so much. In other words, it's when a player will have difficulty trusting when they're off. Mm-hmm. It really has little to do with the outside world, right? When your state of mind is clear and fluent, and you're kind of in the zone of life, so to speak.
Right.
It's not that you go out and reveal all your deepest and darkest secrets to everyone you encounter. You come across. Of course, you don't. Right. But you know what to do. Like you kind of know what to say. You know, you don't trip over your own words. Right. Mm-hmm. So if I have a player who clearly is having difficulty, if I sit down in a room with him and the player is having difficulty, emoting any kind of emotion or anything like that. That says a lot about their state of mind, right?
Right.
So as a life coach, I've got to approach it from that angle, knowing that if they can't let me know what's going on, for the most part, they're all bound up inside. That probably is what it's probably manifesting itself on the field,
mm-hmm.
right? So. I think that most people take this intellectual, go for the intellectual understanding of the word trust, and don't trust their own instincts as far as who to trust, what to say, and stuff like that.
Definitely makes sense. Something else that I wanted to talk a little bit about, as far as trust is concerned with what you do, is the fact that you're getting to the inner person, life coaching, working with their mind, so to speak. How does trust fit into that? As far as, I mean, have you ever had an athlete say that, I don't want, you know, you're really to get into my mind, or I don't want to be, maybe they might feel like, would they ever feel like they might be manipulated in some way or something like that, you know? So the trust factor, as far as you working on somebody's inner self, you know what I mean?
Well, JD, that's really up to me.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, and it's why, is one of the many reasons why I will strictly focus on the players or the person's state of mind and not their behavior.
Right, okay.
In other words, one of the secrets to earning trust or respect for any, this is for any coach, whether you're a youth baseball coach, you're a college, you know, basketball coach, or if you coach the Philadelphia Phillies or New York Yankees, okay, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
One of the real secrets to great coaching is, as I said, focusing on the player's state of mind, not their behavior.
Right,
their,
okay.
Your behavior is your behavior, right? I'm not here to tell you how to behave, right? What I am here to do, and by the way, a lot of, you know, life coaches do that, and that's okay. I just don't believe that that's the way to earn trust,
okay,
and earn respect.
Mm-hmm.
If I tap in and focus on your state of mind, where's your head? In other words, it's not for me to say what to do or not to do, but it is for me in my role to look at how you're doing and show you the real secret to making proper decisions in life. And that secret is really your state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
When our state of mind is clear and fluent, it's easy. We make great decisions. When we're off a little bit, we need to just kind of pull back and say, "Hold, wait a second." So the real secret is for people to recognize where their state of mind is in the moment and know the difference between clear and fluent states of mind and errant states of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, and most athletes especially, because they're taught to be competitive and be relentless, right? So they get this errant thought, "Oh, I got to go get that guy," right?
Right.
And they buy into it. They buy into the errant thought. They buy into the state of mind that's off, and they act from that place. And when you do that, you will get into trouble 100% of the time. 100.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible not to, right? So what we do and what I do to earn that trust, respect, et cetera, is to, hey, your behavior is your behavior, but let's talk about the warning signs. Let's talk about your state of mind. Right, and how to know when your state of mind is on, and how to know when your state of mind is off, and then go from there.
Working with groups or individuals is you obviously must do both. Is there a big difference?
We usually, like, let's say a team hires InterSports and hires me to come to work with them. What we usually will do, what I'll always do is start off with a seminar for the team. Or the coaches, or the front office, right? Everybody, or everyone at the same time. And from there, we then work individually or collectively. Maybe you got a group of players who want to discuss issues or whatever. But I always start off with a seminar for the entire organization.
I see.
Because what I'm really trying to do is impart this feeling on everybody,
mm-hmm,
right? This vibe. On everybody, and we go from there.
Okay, and I must say, I saw part of a seminar on your website. It was excellent.
Oh,
and in closing, maybe you can give out your website. Any other contact info?
Oh, sure, I appreciate that. Our website is inner-sports.com, and that's you know, my email is gkramer@innersports.com, and go to the site. There's a bunch of info there. The evaluation is there. Performance blogs, videos. I think that, you know, we're excited about the site. It's constantly being updated and changing. You know, you can, and my email address, as I said, is, and our phone number is all over the site. So it's inner-sports.com.
All right. Thank you so much for this opportunity to talk to you, Garrett, and best wishes for the future of Inner Sports.
Thanks, JD. Thanks so much. Have a good day.
You just listened to another interview with Big JD. For more Big JD, visit BigJD.com or visit YouTalkingToMe.ca. That's the letter U, talking the number 2, me, YouTalkingToMe.ca.
Okay, there you have my interview with Garrett Kramer from inner-sports.com.
Inner Sports, smart guy.
Yeah, he is, and he's going to be back on the show too when we do the Mind Show.
Awesome.
So that's cool.
Did he... That was a good interview too. Yeah,
yeah, great.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's very knowledgeable, and I really enjoyed talking to him. It was pretty interesting what he does. So,
and you got hooked up with him through a PR firm.
Yeah, yeah,
cool. Why? Okay.
Everything good?
Everything looks good.
Okay,
including you.
Oh, thank you, and you too now.
Yes, JD, watch me get dressed while I listen to the interview.
Sweet. That's why I played such a long interview on the show, so I could watch you get dressed. We were talking about people having trouble developing trust, you know, through certain issues and whatnot. So
sure.
We can talk a little bit more about some of those. If you experienced a hostile or bitter divorce, separation, or end of a relationship, and they may be unable to believe anyone who opens up to them in a new committed relationship.
Yeah, some people get pretty scarred from either being dumped or being cheated on. Or
yeah.
It's hard for someone to trust someone again.
And some people do, I suppose, and some people probably never do, I guess.
Yeah, there are people out there who just give up. It's like, I tried this love thing or this relationship thing, and it didn't work out for me.
I'm going to stay single.
Yeah, so they judge the whole being with someone based on one experience in that regard, which is too bad, really.
They say time heals all wounds. That would have been a nice quote for the show today.
There it is.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
That's it right there. We just did the Jabber quote, right?
Did we?
Without the intro.
If you've been reared in or lived in an environment emotionally and or physically unpredictable and volatile,
mm-hmm.
then you have trouble, trust trouble.
Yeah, any relationship that's volatile is practically impossible to develop trust, because for trust to get nurtured, you have to have some kind of sameness there the whole time. You got to be able to rely on what the situation is going to be and the circumstances surrounding whatever, you know.
And victimization.
What about victimization?
Just straight victimization, whatever that means. That could mean physically victimized. It could mean a robbery. It could mean so many different things, but victimization is something that would, you know, maybe stop you from trusting people.
For sure. There's some bosses out there that victimize employees.
Yeah. Yeah. Harassment, that kind of thing.
They just get off on power.
How about some beliefs of people who have problems trusting? What are these people thinking? What do these people, like, what's their mindset? Maybe I've been hurt too much in the past and refuse to be hurt again, mm-hmm. now or in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one belief, and of somebody who has trouble trusting. People are out to get all they can from you, so avoid them to survive.
Wow.
That's heavy.
It is heavy.
As soon as you let your guard down, you will be stepped on again. No one is to be trusted. That's what right. Some people think. No one's to be trusted. and maybe this would be a good time to interject how one might feel about another person's trust towards other people, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
No.
Like jealousy and that kind of thing. Like maybe your girlfriend or your wife, like, hey, I don't trust those people at your work. So, you know, watch it or call me at such as, you know what I mean? How does that work? How does that fit in? Is that your trust of somebody or something when you're, you know, leery of trust for somebody else,
yeah.
kind of thing? You know what I mean? I think that must come from yourself as well.
I think so. I think a relationship...
Or you think somebody, like, you got blinders on. Can't you see that the way they all look at you or this kind of thing? You know what I mean?
There's that,
you know,
part that kind of it thing, too, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, you have no idea. Like, how are you so? Why are you so trusting of these people? And now, and you're going now, and you're going to, tonight to a work party where everybody's going to be drinking in a bar and everything. Yeah. So is that a trust? That's a trust issue from a person watching the trust of another person, kind
right?
of thing.
Do you always have to bring the drinking thing around into it?
I don't know. It's I think there's a lot of maybe trust or lack of trust built around that. I don't know sure. why. Did I bring it up before too somewhere?
Just the situation.
In this little thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What did I say the first time? I know this was about going to the bar and drinking.
I don't remember.
Okay. I didn't know that I did. But I trust that you're correct. marriage is the pits.
Is it?
Well, I'm just stating what I see here in my jabber notes.
Oh, so what's that going to do with trust?
Don't trust marriage. Don't trust a woman or a man or you know, whatever it is you're going to marry.
Right.
There's no such thing as a healthy relationship. These are beliefs of people that don't trust.
Right, of course.
If I give in and believe you've truly changed, relaxing my defenses, I am most certainly not, I'm most certainly going to be hurt again.
Yeah. I think if someone has hurt you or cheated on you, to get that trust back, it's going to take a really long time.
And here's another one. If somebody backslides, so your lack of trust is where was I going with this one? Is in the other person's trust? Like you're trusting that. I don't know if this was right what I was thinking here, but they have in order for you your trust could be jeopardized by their own trust. Like they have to trust that they're not going to go back to the bottle. Hey, I'm okay. Talking about drinking here. So
all right, gotcha. Yeah, so yeah.
So somebody's going to go back. You know, if they go back to the bottle, then you know, and that's somebody else's. How does that work? Somebody else's trust in their drinking problem or their
lack,
or somebody else's trust with somebody or something, and then that's going to be a problem with your trust with that person.
Yes, it is.
Okay, wherever that was going, that was. I think I got too deep there.
Yeah, you said you got the backsliding.
Yeah,
thing.
Put this bottle down.
I think you were saying backsliding. I thought you were going to you lost someone's trust, got it back, and then you started losing it again. I thought that's where you were going with that.
Well, that's what the backslide is them backsliding and you know going back into whatever they did to lose your trust. But there's got to be a trust for them somewhere. I was thinking, you know, some kind of trust for them in something.
Yes.
And if their trust doesn't work, then it's not going to work for you kind of thing. I don't know what was up with that. But anyway, well, why don't we mosey on into Sunday Morning Music Mayhem?
Sounds good.
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
All right, set us up, Lippo.
This is a song called Trust in You. It's from The Offspring, a punk metal-ish heavy band. This is from their CD Rise and Fall, Rage and Grace.
Trust.
show, some Offspring.
I love those guys.
Yeah, they're awesome, man. Wake you up on a Sunday morning, for sure.
Yeah, I never get sick of listening to Offspring.
Nope, I like them.
They just don't sound as good live, though.
That's what you said, yeah. I trust your judgment on that.
There's some bands that are just studio bands.
Maybe it was just a venue or something, or I don't know.
You go check it out.
It's a pretty simple band. I mean, it's only a guitar, bass, and a, you know.
Go on YouTube, check it out.
Oh, yeah, okay. But a lot of things, well, some bands sound good on YouTube live. But I don't know. It sometimes depends on what's recording them.
King Friday even sounds good on YouTube.
Yeah. No, that was, I liked your video clip.
That's not what I had in mind, but I should have gave my camera to Mark Daniel last night. I had him tape it.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice.
I could have given him my camera.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe not.
Should have just had him record a video with his phone.
Not.
So let's move along here. We're going to go into Tech Talk, I think.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
And while our buddies, Jeff and Mike, the Easy Mac guys, may get into more detail on this particular gadget at some point in time and maybe air something recorded with it on the Easy Mac podcast at easymacpodcast.com, the letter E, the letter Z. This is the external mic and remote for iPhone and iPod by Griffin. It's the Griffin Smart Talk.
Do you have one?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
$20 US.
Oh, that's right.
It's sitting right here.
Yeah, okay.
And what's nice about it is I was looking at it for someone else, actually. I was looking at it for someone else. The Monster iSonyTalk or SonyTalk. That's what this person wanted, and it seemed like maybe the only thing out there. And I happened to stop at a Micro Center on my way to an Apple store and saw this by Griffin. And what I liked about this, and they didn't have the Monster one, so I got this for him instead, was the fact that there was the control over the iPod, the music. So you could skip ahead song, skip back, and, you know, pause and play your songs. Whereas the other one, I think, may pause and play your songs, but it wouldn't skip anywhere. And it was the same idea, but the other one also had a bigger jack thing where you would plug your headphones in at the right at the source there, at the jack, you know?
Yep.
And that, I don't know how great of an idea that is or whatever, but he wanted it for his iPod Touch so that he can get a mic because the iPod Touches don't have built-in mics.
Right.
And so he'd have a mic to record his guitar and stuff like that. You know, just he does a little bit of acoustic playing and singing and that kind of stuff. And he wanted it for those kinds of things. So I picked him up this one instead of the other, which is the same price, but this has more functionality, which is really cool. And plus they make an app as well. If you want a dedicated app for it, there's a free app and then a pay for one if you don't want the ads or something like that at the App Store, which is the Griffin iTalk app.
iTalk or Smart Talk?
The app is iTalk.
Oh, it's the iTalk app.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is called the Smart Talk, the thing. And it's got a 30-inch cable there. And I can't put the thing down. I need it. I'll tell you, it has a clip on it too, so you can clip it to you. But I use it in the car because of the fact, and what I think I'm finding is that my microphone, because of my case, because of my whole, you know, on there, it kind of covers the mic, if you can see there, underneath. So when it's sitting on the seat or something like that, whereas Lana's will pick up well because her mic's not kind of shielded. My mic's a little bit covered up sort of because it shields over the top and bottom so much.
Right, yeah.
So to use it hands-free, and just as a speakerphone, mm-hmm. especially if it's plugged into the stereo in the car, you know, it'd be fine. And but you can't really hear me very well.
Okay.
So I have that thing plugged in and it sits closer to me and it picks up a little better and whatnot. Or if it's just in my hand, you know what I mean, next to the seat, I just pick it up and I'm not actually using the phone or picking up the phone or anything like that. So it works out good like that for me. And plus the fact that that thing plugs into my case because, you know, I have some trouble finding adapter that plug in because of my rubber case on there.
Not narrow enough.
So that works. And, then, I mean, just as a hands-free thing, I find it really handy.
So what do you plug into that end? What do you
I usually plug that into my car stereo.
Okay.
Like, you know, 1/8 inch to 1/8 inch because I have the auxiliary jack in the front.
Yep.
So I plug it in there and then that thing sits right next to me and I can take calls and Rather than having something in my ear or having to spend like more money on the thing that you got there, like for your visor or whatever.
Bluetooth deal, yeah.
Because I had a Bluetooth earpiece thing and it doesn't work with my iPhone. It's too low, the volume, for some reason. I don't know why. And so it wasn't compatible. And then I have the Oakley sunglasses, but that's not something I really wear them all the time. And for that purpose, to have those two both in my ears. But what I do like about those, as opposed to having the one Bluetooth earpiece, mm-hmm. the earpiece doesn't work with music.
Okay.
I don't know if some of them do, but most of them do not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it doesn't work with the iPod part of the iPhone. And the stereo headphone type things, they have a special functionality that's, you know. So, going to a party on after school.
You want to get into Jabberco?
Yeah, we're moving along. As soon as I find some kind of an ID for that. Jabberco, Jabberco. All right, this week's Jabber Quote brought to us by
Steve and Larry, fine purveyors of trust rings. They sell these used rings, and if you put them on your finger, everybody trusts you.
Hey, is there such thing as a trust ring? Oh, it's a promise ring I'm thinking of. Is there a trust ring? I trust you're going to marry me some year.
I'm sure somewhere someone's
That's what a promise ring is, isn't it? Promise to... It has promise fit in with trust. I promise. Okay, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to hold you to your promise. Meet me on after school.
I'm sorry.
We got a lot going on here in the studio this morning.
Yeah.
So while Lippo's taking his phone call there, Jabber quote this week, I had actually mentioned earlier.
Okay.
And I'm going to bring Lippo in for this. What was the Jabber quote this week I said earlier? We're going to use for the... I should have actually marked that down as we went along here.
Mark that!
What was my Jabber quote?
You expect me to...
Time heals all wounds? Was that what it was? Time will heal all wounds. I think that's something like that.
But the word trust was in your thing.
No. It wasn't, no.
Okay.
Time will heal your wounds, and that's a quote.
Someone has said that a million times. Has,
yeah.
And it's absolutely true. Time does heal all wounds.
And that kind of fits in with the show, I guess, trust-wise, because, you know, when something happens and you lose trust for something or somebody, time usually heals the wounds, and at some point in time, maybe you will trust again. But there's that that other saying where you can forgive but not forget. So that may come into play as well. So you get double whammy there on the Jabbercast.
Those two are definitely tied in together.
And I know Lippo doesn't have the website pulled up there anywhere, so I'm just going to fly into that real quick so we can let people know what's going on next week on the Jabbercast. And, of course, you can visit the website, thejabbercast.com. And we have a player on the website where you can listen to the show live at 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. If we're not on at 11, like we had technical difficulties for this show, you know, just keep checking back every couple minutes or something like that. Anyways, right. November 5th. Is that our next show?
No. That was...
No, that's right, yeah.
No.
November 15th, sorry.
I mean, yes.
Yeah. 50s and 60s. Beatniks, Hep Cats, and Free Love. Oh, yeah. And we're going to demonstrate some of that in the show.
All right.
What a couple eras, eh? And also, I interview a historian, TJ Rebert, and he's an affiliate of John Kelly, who's the webmaster for lowtie.com and LOTI.com. And that's an ultimate 50s and 60s resource website.
All right.
And apparently, the owner, and I don't know the owner's name, he passed away recently, I guess. And John upkeeps the website for this guy's wife. He was the webmaster anyway for the site, but, and so, you know, that's a pretty cool thing that he does, I guess. And for her still, and, condolences to the owner of the site, who, whoever he was, really, I don't really have information on that, but, TJ Rebert, affiliate of John Kelly's, and he sounds like he's going to be a lot of fun. He's got some stories. He's a Navy vet. About 15 years ago, he had a son find him that from the 60s that he didn't know he had.
Nice.
And he also says no topic is off limits.
Yeah.
So he's going to be a blast. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. So anyway, I guess that kind of wraps things up this week. And sorry for the technical difficulties. And I think we'll have that all wrapped up and taken care of next week for the 50s and 60s show.
See you at 11 o'clock next Sunday morning. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback heard. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.